The views expressed on the Buckmaster Radio program are not necessarily the views of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, or its sponsors.
Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster along with Tom Fairbanks. Hello, Tom.
Hello, Mr. Buckmaster.
Hey, Tom Fairbanks, engineering and producing on the other side of the glass, and together we welcome you to the Buckmaster Show for this midweek edition. It's Wednesday, December 11th, 2019. We're broadcasting from the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. You're listening to 1030 Tucson's Voice for trusted news talk, worldwide live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com. All of our podcasts available 24/7 at buckmastershow.com. The live line number 790-2040. First of all, I want to say I am so blessed to have very talented friends who can step up and host this program when I'm not available. Shelley Fishman did a great job with the show yesterday, as did Ben Bueller Garcia on Monday, and Dylan Smith of Tucson Sentinel did the show Friday and did a great job. Thank you, gentlemen. Joining us now on the Buckmaster Show live line, Bruce Burke is with us. Mr. Burke, a retired attorney who was appointed last month by Pima County Superintendent of Schools Dustin Williams to Tucson Unified School District Governing Board to fill the seat vacated by Dr. Mark Stegeman's resignation. Mr. Burke returns to the board after a seven-year stint from 2003 to 2010. Bruce, how are you?
I am just fine, Bill. Good to be on your show.
Thank you very much. What have you experienced, Bruce Burke, upon returning to the TUSD board that's either new or is an ongoing issue from when you left the board nearly 10 years ago?
Well, Bill, let me start with what I think is very good news, and that is that since my departure and now my return to the school board at TUSD, TUSD has seen a considerable improvement in their Arizona AZ merit rating system. I was at a board meeting last night in which the superintendent announced that several of our schools have moved from an F, one school moved from an F to an A.
Wow.
Or a B, and others did a similar jump. So right now, 65 of our district schools are rated A, B, or C, which is a 20% improvement in many areas.
Well, that's great news. Is there an ongoing issue, Bruce, that you find very familiar from when you left 10 years ago?
Yes, Bill. I think the one thing that is in a very real sense still an ongoing issue is the TUSD DSEG case. It's now 45 years in the making.
40?
And although we're, yes,
45 years. Wow.
And it's time for that case to find an honorable end. We are actually in the last stages of seeking final approval for the unification plan for the district. And I'm optimistic, but there is still work to be done. And in the meantime, it's costing the district an awful lot of money. I could give you those numbers if you're interested.
Yeah, and I was just reflecting. I was thinking that 45 years, that has got to be one of the longest running desegregation case in the United States.
Well, I did inquire about that, and believe it or not, there are some cases in the South that have a longer history than ours.
Wow.
But ours certainly is, if you want to use the expression, long in the tooth.
Yes.
And it's time for that case to come to an end.
And you were going to give us some numbers. Go ahead, Bruce.
Yes, because I asked the superintendent, what does it cost us to continue in this litigation? And it's still costing us millions. His estimate was that it's over $10 million yearly in outside of the classroom costs, such as legal fees, annual report costs, mandated administrative positions, mandated consultants, funding for OCR agreements, and the like. So you can imagine that once this case ends, that $10 million can be repurposed to something other than outside the classroom administrative expense.
You know, one thing that probably hasn't changed much, and in fact, in the 10 years since you have left the board, the capital funding needs, the school buildings certainly aren't getting any younger, or really, in many cases, Bruce Burke, any better, are they?
Absolutely. And that is another dire situation that I've come to confront. When I left the school board in 2010, our budget had, and I'm guessing here, but it's approximately $60 million annually for maintenance and capital funding. Upon my return to the board, that number is now $3 million. Mm. So we have over $140 million in costs to capital funding as a result of reduced state aid. I didn't mean costs, so I mean it's cuts, $140 million in cuts in capital funding. So that's a very serious situation, and the legislature really needs to step up.
How about special education, Bruce? What's the bottom line on that?
Well, in terms of TUSD's 47,000, 45,000 students now enrolled, TUSD is home to over 7,000 students with disabilities, which constitutes approximately 15% of the total student population. And so as a result, we've seen about a 20% growth in that population over the last 10 years. And funding, once again, by the state legislature has simply not kept up. There is an increased demand for social workers, psychologists, and other similar therapists to attend to these special needs students, and it's simply totally and grossly underfunded.
Big city school districts like TUSD across the country, Bruce Burke, over the last 10 years or so have continued to lose enrollment. At least it looks like TUSD has stopped the hemorrhaging currently. Is that the way you see it?
That is true, and I think that's another bit of very encouraging news about TUSD. So we're seeing a lot of improvement in a lot of areas at TUSD on my return, at least as I've seen it. And one of the things that I think has seen an improvement is that the hemorrhaging of about 1,500 or 2,000 students a year in those parents and students leaving the district has really stopped, although it's still a modest number, maybe 200 or so in the last year, or 300, but the 1,500 annual loss is really shrinking, and that's very good news for the district. I see a turnaround bringing that number to zero if we continue on this path.
We're speaking with Bruce Burke. Mr. Burke is the newly appointed TUSD board member, taking the seat, Dr. Mark Stegeman, who made that announcement here on our program that he was resigning, and there was that opening, and Bruce Burke has stepped in. Bruce, what's the attitude of the board like at the meetings? Is it professional to your liking, or how would you characterize it?
Well, I've been to two meetings now, and I must give credit to the board as it's currently composed. Everyone is courteous. The discussions are thoughtful. Everyone gets an opportunity to speak, and on many occasions, and in fact, most occasions, our votes are by consensus, 5-0. So I think the board's getting along very well, and I see it as a very healthy and good board to be on.
And you have decided you will not be a candidate, correct, for this
that
seat
is right.
Next year? You basically are doing this out of the goodness of your heart, and you believe in the community, and we thank you very much for it. Bruce Burke, thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Bruce Burke, who is on the TUSD Governing Board, joining us on the Buckmaster Show. This portion of the Buckmaster Show presented by our friends in Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. You know, it's only a three-hour drive over to Silver City. It's a beautiful area of the Land of Enchantment. Visit southwestnewmexico.org for the complete listing of great places to stay and all sorts of recreation opportunities in Silver City. Silver City's all decked out for the holidays, so check it out. Make the road trip to Silver City. Also want to talk about Christmas and Mona's Danish Bakery, northeast corner Swan and Sunrise, now serving a hot breakfast and, of course, open right now for lunch. But I want to talk a little bit about holidays and Mona's. Go in and you will find beautiful boxes of Christmas cookies all laid out. They're very conveniently packaged. You can take them to the office for the Christmas party or whatever. And also put in your order now for pumpkin, apple, blueberry, cherry, or pecan pie. Tom, quickly open your microphone. Which will it be? Are you going to go with the traditional pecan?
I like a good Southern-style pecan pie.
Ooh, you do.
And I like a good cinnamony flavored apple pie.
Okay.
And you can never go wrong in my book with chocolate cream pie.
Ooh, I'm sure Chief Baker Steve could arrange that for anyone that would like a chocolate cream pie for their Christmas dinner dessert. Hey, we can't forget, Tom, they are home to the Danish Kringle. Quick test, Tom. Traditional custard for the Kringle, cherry, strawberry, blueberry, lemon, apricot, or again, your favorite is appearing, a pecan Kringle.
Is Kringle named after Christopher?
I don't know, but it's a beautiful Danish pastry. I know that.
But it sure works. Traditional topping might work for me.
It sure works, doesn't it, at the Christmas holiday, the Kringle. All right, Danish Kringle available at Mona's, home of the Danish Kringle, northeast corner, Swan and Sunrise. Buckmaster Show at 12:15. He's waiting in the wings, ready to talk travel, which I love to do. Ryan Hansen is up next on Buckmaster. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. This is Bill Buckmaster encouraging you to fly from Tucson International Airport. When you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. A new study shows the Tucson Airport Authority's annual economic impact is $7.4 billion, with almost $1 billion of that from visitors flying into the airport. Fly Tucson, and airlines will respond with more flights, bringing more visitors, benefiting all of us. Type in TUS when you book your next flight and fly Tucson.
Take 5 minutes to give us your input on regional transportation matters. The Regional Transportation Authority's 35-member Citizens Advisory Committee prepared draft guiding principles to consider as they prepare to develop the next RTA plan. The survey is available between mid-November and mid-December. To take the survey or to sign up to receive RTA notices, please visit www.rtamobility.com.
This is Moa Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing.
And this is Bill Buckmaster. For several decades now, Moe has been my go-to expert for all my framing needs and bathroom mirrors. I trust Moe for service, professionalism, and top-of-the-line quality.
Thanks, Bill. Give us a call at 795-8226 and stop by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing on the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge, right next to Copenhagen, and on the web at moesgallery.com.
Ever dream of taking a river cruise? Bon Voyage Travel introduces you to Ama Waterways. You'll explore authentic culture in captivating landscapes in luxury and comfort. All on board an award-winning fleet while you travel through incredible cities and villages in Europe, Southeast Asia, and Africa. Picture yourself on the river, indulging in Ama Waterways' locally inspired cuisine paired with complimentary wine with every lunch and dinner. Contact Bon Voyage Travel today to customize your river cruise vacation.
Let's say you need an honest roofer. Where do you start? Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona has more than 3,200 accredited businesses ready to help and committed to doing things right. Next time you need a trusted mechanic, plumber, AC company, or florist, go to our website, bbb.org, or call us at 520-888-6161. Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona. We are here to help you find local companies you can trust.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, time for insider travel talk on Buckmaster with our Buckmaster travel contributor, Ryan Hansen. I am so blessed, Rhino, to have people like yourself and a roster. I mean, you know sports.
I do a little bit.
I've got a roster of 24 people who are experts in their field that I can call upon. That's a blessing, my friend.
No doubt, to have people in your corner.
In my corner, Ryan Hansen, President, Chief Operating Officer, Bon Voyage Travel, serving travelers. Wow, more than 40 years. They are the iconic travel agency in Southern Arizona. 75 Bon Voyage travel experts. They're available right now. They will create your trip of a lifetime. I can guarantee it. There are 3 Southern Arizona Bon Voyage travel offices: River and Campbell, Green Valley and Oro Valley, bvtravel.com. The first step in making your travel dreams come true. I posted on Facebook today, Rhino, that where are you going in 2020? I was asking my Facebook friends, because let's face it, Christmas, it would be nice to have kind of under the Christmas tree of a travel package, wouldn't it?
Oh, there's no doubt. And we talk about in travel, yeah, it's all about experiences. Well, that's really, my parents have gotten to that age where, you know, they want to give the things that make the grandkids happy, my 2 boys, but really they want to give them experiences and memories. And
exactly.
So that's exactly the type of present that they look forward to, is a trip. Traveling together builds that bond, because they're in the legacy phase, call it what it is, of their life. And so they want the kids to have memories, and memories that they get to be a part of as well.
Yeah, and everybody's got the bucket list. And
sure,
I'll throw one out at you. People put Paris up there at the top of many people's list. Okay, you get to Paris. How, Ryan Hansen, do you elevate the experience?
Well, that's what we've really talked about so many times, but I thought today would be a great chance to focus on not just where you're going to go. It's what are you going to do when you get there? And it's not just the regular things. We would promote at Bon Voyage, you come talk to us. One of the concepts we like to talk about, and it's a fairly new one we're developing, it's an old time tested travel advisor philosophy, but it's a new spin on it. We're calling it One More Day.
Really?
Just take one more day. So if you can do 7 days and you want to hit all the highlights, like you said, of Paris, you've got the Louvre, the other museums, the Eiffel Tower, you've got a lot of food options there. Take one more day to do something special that you wouldn't normally do in your local town. Hire a private guide to give you the behind-the-scenes tour of a place maybe you've been before, but you don't know all the details
sure.
of. If you're going to go to a winery, don't just do the wine tasting. We can help set up lunch in the vineyard. I was on the safari, and speaking of bucket list, we had a great breakdown of that safari trip from back in May, and one of the opportunities came where we could take a balloon ride, a hot air balloon ride over the Maasai Mara.
I know. I saw your pictures.
Yeah.
Oh, it looks so nice.
And it was one of those, like, okay, we have other things we want to do. Is the expense worth it? And I can tell you, almost 9 times out of 10, when you travel, if you take that minor additional expense, it is far worth it. It's even more valuable to you in those memories. I look back at that hot air balloon. I mean, when am I going to be over the Maasai Mara watching giraffes running through the glades? It was amazing to see from that elevated point. That's the one more day concept that we really like to do to elevate your trip. So it's not just nuts and bolts. How are we going to get there? What seat are we going to sit on the airplane?
Sure.
What's our hotel?
Yeah.
Get past all of that and let's dive into an experience.
Ryan Hansen, does the one more day concept work with, say, a 7 to 10 day river cruise?
I think it's the perfect thing for a river cruise. In fact, we've used that before ourselves. Is instead of just going Vienna round trip, 7 nights, oh my goodness, you're going to have a great time. How many other cities are within a 1-hour flight or a 6-hour train ride of Vienna that you could experience the one more day concept? And my wife and I did this, and we flew into Berlin.
Uh-huh.
And we had one day to see Berlin. Well, we knew we could see a lot by ourselves. We can get ourselves around, but we hired a private guide that could expedite the trip. We got to see twice as many things because we had a private guide that knew how to get there fast, but then the insight that he provided to us. So it wasn't just the river cruise. That's the perfect thing, is to add that one more day to a cruise itinerary, and you can do it in any port of call. That's the beautiful thing. Go early so that you If you incur any flight issues, the one more day might save you and you can get on ship. Hopefully it can elevate your experience, not just be a saving day.
And do your travel advisors have these contacts?
Well, and that's the big key is you almost don't know. If you do it on your own, you don't know the experiences to ask for or to look for. And you can scour the internet. And in truth, the information is there. But I would challenge anyone right now, go to your computer desktop and type in trip to London.
Right.
And I guarantee you there's going to be a billion search options that will come up for you.
Oh, yeah.
And you think, oh, the first page is going to be where I'm going to live and Google knows everything about me. Well, they do know a lot about you, but they don't know everything about you. That's where we can dive in. And we do have local contacts. That's a little bit of a different situation for us is we have in our portfolio specialists that live in destination that do this all the time. They send lots of people to these special places that maybe only 10 people get into a week. It's their 10 people that are reserved and booked for by people that are travel advisors in the network that we work in called the Signature Travel Network. So having that on-site contact is invaluable.
Signature's highly regarded too.
It definitely is. And people might say, well, what is Signature or who are they? And it's a consortia of high-end travel agencies in North America, about 205 of us that all have the same concept of providing exemplary service, wonderful expertise, create a relationship, and at the end of the day, deliver value to our clients. All 200 agencies subscribe to this same concept. So we aggregate our sales, we negotiate better rates, we provide more amenities. In this case, deliver contacts you can't get on your own.
Ryan Hansen with us. It's Travel Talk. Ryan, we're coming to the close of our 2019.
We are.
Moving quickly here. Before you know it, we're going to turn the calendar into 2020. Quickly, Ryan, 2019 top destinations. Then I'm going to hit you up for 2020. What are we doing?
What are we doing for 2020? We keep talking, and it really is coming to a head. It really is about getting off the beaten path on an expedition-style trip. And how about this experience? This just got launched by Silver Sea Cruises. They've been going to Antarctica in a different way for quite a number of years. Lots of landings with Zodiacs on Antarctica. But one of the sticking points, the barriers of entry for people is the Drake Passage.
Oh, yes.
It's like a roller coaster on the water.
Roughest body of water in the world.
In the world. Well, Silver Sea has come out with an air cruise program where they are flying charter aircraft over the Drake Passage.
You can
look at it from above. No turbulence on the water. You can get right into King George Island and then head in straight from there. So it's an unbelievably different experience. So if that's the barrier of entry, this would be perfect for you, and we know how to get you.
Boy, I like to hear that. I'm sure a lot of people will say, now we can go.
That's
because
right.
Because that Drake's Passage was holding a lot of people up.
A lot.
What about the very popular February event? Last year was very successful. Is it on tap again for the 2020 year?
It sure is. February 16th is our travel showcase. It's growing. It's getting better and better. It's more in-depth destination talk. It's more connections to travel partners, leading travel partners in the industry. So over 40 travel partners can be there for you to ask the question directly to as a consumer. It's at the El Conquistador, February 16th. That's a Sunday from 11 to 3. And I would say this with confidence. I think one of the highlights will be a seminar delivered by the two of us.
Hope so.
We will definitely
love to be asked back. We had a good time.
Oh, you're in, baby.
Oh, good. All right.
You are in. I will mark my calendar.
I was waiting for that invite. I've got that golden invite. No, I had a good time last year, and we talked about some of the places that are on my bucket list, and we kicked it around, and it's always fun talking travel. Ryan, what would you call kind of your 2019 travel highlight? You traveled a lot this year.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, it might have been the best travel year
Africa
of my
trip?
Life.
Right.
Well,
yeah.
The Africa trip was number one. Number two was getting back to the homeland. I was able to go to Denmark with my family.
The Danish trip.
There were really three.
Did you find a Kringle while you were over there?
Of course I did. I heard that earlier.
Yes. Steve will be happy up at Mona's. Yes.
I could use a Kringle from Mona's right now, as a matter of fact. Yeah. When you can check off multiple bucket list items, and it was definitely African Safari was number two on the list. Number one was getting back to Denmark.
And you did trace some of the family.
Oh, no doubt.
You dove deep.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. My great-great-grandparents are the ones that immigrated to the United States. And before they immigrated, they got married in Copenhagen. And my family, we took a tour of the church where they were married at in 1871.
Wow.
And so there's nothing like walking in those same footsteps.
Okay, Ryan, for people that would love more information, not only about the event that's coming up in February, but perhaps, you know, this is a great time of year to give a gift. What about a under the tree, maybe some kind of like a gift certificate or something?
Could you do something like that?
If
you don't want to book a full trip for someone,
just say that, you know, you want to
any amount, they want to kick it off,
that they want to have a great travel experience in 2020. You could prepare something.
We've got gift certificates all the time. It happens where someone, you know, grandparents say,
sure,
we can't go, but we want you to go. Here's $500 to get you started. $100 to get you started. Maybe use that to fund the one more day.
There you go. One more day. Make that a part of your travel plans in 2020. BVTravel.com, their fine website. First step in making your travel dreams come true. Ryan Hansen will look forward to a great year in 2020. Hopefully you'll be doing your annual May show while we're going back to French Polynesia. I might as well announce it. So hopefully we'll get a good line out of one of these crazy places we're planning
you bet.
To go to.
I can't wait to hear your itinerary.
Have a great Christmas, Ryan. Thank you,
my friend.
Very much.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
At Sierra Tucson, we see miracles of healing every day. We are honored to be an international premier treatment center right here in Southern Arizona. Our comprehensive evidence-based programs focus on addiction recovery, mood and anxiety disorders, trauma recovery, including PTSD, pain recovery, and co-occurring disorders. Learn more at sierratucson.com. Or call us at 800-842-4487. We work with most insurance payers.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. This segment presented by Sierra Tucson, where change begins. Jamie Vink, the CEO of Sierra Tucson, is with us on the live line. Jamie, how are you?
I'm just fine, thank you. How are you today?
Doing very well. And speaking of change, there's some really exciting news coming from Sierra Tucson about the new outpatient services. Of course, Sierra Tucson, known for world-class residential behavioral health treatment, but now you're offering this additional service to the community. What's going on, Jamie?
Well, 2019 has been a very exciting year for Sierra Tucson. As you mentioned, we have been in the business for 36 years. We are considered one of the thought leaders in residential and inpatient treatment. And this year we built a new building called Copper Sky, which is a 30,000 square foot building there right on campus. And what we've done with that building is to create two inpatient programs, but also to fulfill a dream that I've had since joining Sierra Tucson 5 years ago, to create an outpatient program. And that program is for people that are completing their residential stays at Sierra Tucson and they want to continue on, dip their toe in the real world, if you will. And then it's also for the community. So if someone is in talk therapy and they find that they need a bit more, then we're the place for them.
So is this for anyone within our community, Jamie?
Yes, it is.
And it is. What is driving this? We're hearing so much about the current opioid and suicide epidemic. Is this one of the drivers, Jamie Vink?
Absolutely. And this year, what I have talked about, I have the honor of representing Sierra Tucson, both nationally and internationally, to talk about our work, to talk about our integrated model of care. And you know, Bill, yes, we do have an opioid crisis and we do have a suicide epidemic, but we also have a lot of people that are healing and getting better. We also have a lot of family members that are coming to us and learning new tools while their loved ones, setting their loved ones up for success. And every month we have at least 100 people that are successfully completing treatment. So our outpatient program is another opportunity for us to continue that hope and that healing, to just shout to the world, people are getting better and we're here to support you.
Jamie, how does this integrative approach work when it comes to the outpatient services? Could you address that for us?
Absolutely. So we look at integrated care as the whole, treating the whole person, mind, body, and spirit. And so we have modalities that obviously therapy for the mind, for the body, we have exercise, and we also have body work, massage, those kinds of things. And spirit, that can take on a number of different meanings to a number of different people. I look at spirit to whatever gives you purpose. That can be nature, that can be your primary relationships, that can be your connection with your higher power. So we do look at people as the complicated beings that they are and impact each one of those major areas. The other thing that you should know in our integrated model of care is that we also take a trauma-informed approach to treatment. Most people that we see, and quite frankly in society today, most of us have experienced some form of trauma. And so we look at where did that wounding occur, and does this individual have some unhealthy coping mechanisms to deal with their trauma? And this can be identified in outpatient treatment before things escalate.
You have, So, Jamie, you have to really get to the underlying cause, right? Where that wound happened, and then work on that and go from there, Jamie Vink.
That's exactly correct. And we look for the wounding, we look for the interruptions in someone's development, and what's going on in the present day that perhaps is triggering that. And I mentioned maladaptive or negative coping strategies. I have to be careful not to talk like a therapist. And an example of that that really resonates with folks is that, let's say someone's been a social drinker and perhaps has a couple glasses of wine a few times a week, no negative impact to their lives. Well, then something happens in their world. Either their youngest child goes away to school, or there's a death in the family, an illness, something like that. And the individual notices that that two glasses of wine is becoming 3.5. And then maybe they're going to look for an extra sleeping pill. And they realize that things, behaviors that were working for them don't necessarily work. So that would be an ideal candidate for our outpatient program, that someone that could come in and look at mind, body, spirit, their wounds, and also to come up with positive coping strategy in a supportive environment.
Jamie, there are all sorts of creative ways Sierra Tucson handles the outpatient, even equine therapy, art therapy, family therapy. You have a lot of tools in your tool chest.
We do. And, you know, what I've realized from the years of working in the field and being a clinician myself, there is no one size fits all for the challenges that one faces. And so I believe it's our ethical obligation to offer many different things so that everyone can have that, aha, okay, this resonates for me.
Tell me a little bit, and we're quickly running out of time, Jamie Vink. What's your highlight or highlights for Sierra Tucson? It's been a great year for you, hasn't it?
It really has. And, you know, I feel so incredibly blessed to be part of this team. And I mentioned opening up our new building, Copper Sky, and that has allowed us to create some programs to really fill the need that's out there in the community for someone. I know we keep bringing up the suicide epidemic, but there are a number of people struggling with suicidal ideations, and they don't rise to the level of a psychiatric hospital. However, they don't feel comfortable on our 160 acres. So we've created a program called Chrysalis that gives them the extra support that they need. And we also have developed a Voice of Legacy program. And, you know, in our epidemic right now, we have 250,000 Americans every year are becoming survivors of suicide loss. And with every suicide, it negatively impacts 3 to 5 different lives. So what we've got is a program for those that have experienced that loss with a loved one, and they can come in and work with folks that understand what they're going through. So I would say that I believe for Sierra Tucson, we have risen to the level of need and expanded our access to care and are really showing up for our community and society in these unprecedented times.
Jamie, give our listeners some contact information, will you please?
Sure. Well, our website is sierratucson.com, or give us a call at 1-800-842-4487. And my contact details are on the website. Feel free to reach out via email. I love to hear from people and talk all about Sierra Tucson.
Jamie Vink, always a pleasure, and I really hope you and your family have a wonderful and a joyous holiday season. Jamie, thank you very much.
Thank you, Bill. Same to you.
Thanks
Bye-bye.
A lot. Jamie Vink is the CEO at Sierra Tucson. We're in the Green Things Zocalo Village studio, and I want to talk for a moment about Green Things. My goodness. Tom Fairbanks, you have your microphone right open there. I know you love poinsettias, right?
Well, especially this time of year.
Well, of course, they're really iconic with the season. Do you know, and maybe you recall me mentioning it, how many thousand Tom Fairbanks do they do? How many thousands of poinsettias do they grow at the greenhouses at Green Things?
I know. I've heard you.
You've heard me talk about it, this, and I'm going to give you a few seconds, and you can make a
it's
wild.
It's thousands.
Yeah, it's 25,000, and I don't know how many are of that 25,000 now are. You know, we're getting close here to Christmas. I can guarantee you, there's probably thousands left.
And they grow them here locally.
They do.
Now, do poinsettias? Do they just bloom at this time of year, or
the way they do it, they do this time of year, and then they grow into January and February, and they're still going to get some beautiful color. We have had some, Tom, that have actually colored up through March and even April. So they'll be color on those leaves.
Wow.
for many months. I can pretty much guarantee it because they're grown at Green Things. Green Things located at 3384 East River Road. My friends Jan and Jack are the owners. Their 13-acre site, of course, now contains Zocalo Village, all that great merchandise, from much of it's handcrafted from Mexico and Latin America. All right, coming up next, Dr. Mark Sykes is in the house. We're going to talk about something called a dwarf planet. What in the world is that? Dr. Sykes is going to tell us about there may be a new contender for the dwarf planet of the year. We'll be right back.
Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Buckmaster Show listeners know about my love of travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. I know you value your time and money, so it makes sense to fly Tucson with nearly 60 daily nonstop flights to major hub airports. If you're flying to another airport to take a nonstop flight, you're still making a connection and spending 4 hours on the road traveling to that other airport. That's why I fly Tucson and encourage you to do the same. As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
A Citizens Committee of the Regional Transportation Authority is preparing to develop the next RTA plan. That's why members want your input on a survey of draft guiding principles they prepared. The principles will help guide them as they develop the next 20-year plan, which would be funded by a voter-required extension of the RTA's half-cent excise or sales tax. To take the survey or sign up to receive RTA notices, please visit www.rtamobility.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show on the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. Dr. Mark Sykes with us for his monthly visit to the program. He is the CEO and director of the Tucson-based Tucson Planetary Science Institute. More than 40 years engaged as a very popular nonprofit in the exploration of the solar system. Mark, how are you?
I'm doing great, Bill.
You had a great trip over to your homeland.
my mother's family homeland.
Well, mother's family homeland.
A few weeks in Scotland.
Over to Scotland.
Yeah.
Is climate change impacting the people over there? I would imagine with the rising seas, there's going to be an impact.
I spent some time in the Outer Hebrides, which is a kind of a very remote part of the island, or the islands out there. And I was in this little town called Lochmaddy in North Uist, and they had some buildings down by the bay, and one had like a band of light that would turn on a light about like halfway up the building,
right.
And I saw another one, you know, and I asked the hotel clerk, what's this all about?
Yeah.
And it's like this is where we expect the sea level to be in 2050. Which is only 30 years away.
Right.
And I was thinking, wow, a remote village in Scotland making a statement about the impact on them of global climate change.
Could that inundate with water some of these islands?
Oh, absolutely. Well, not completely.
Not completely.
Because there's topography.
Sure, right.
But there's machairs on the Uists, you see these large flat beaches, which would be all covered up.
Sure.
There's endless archaeological sites up there, which would be lost. But also where people live, because they primarily live down on the coast. I was giving some talks about solar system exploration at the schools on Barra, which is where my mother's family came from.
How is that spelled?
B-A-R-R-A.
Okay.
And they're all, you know, the Gaelic speakers there, which was the language my grandfather McLean spoke. And I regret not having learned any of it.
Are the kids learning it in school?
Oh, yeah, they speak it at home.
Oh, good.
And
so it's not in jeopardy of being a lost language.
You know, primarily because a lot of them during the end of the clearances, including my family, ended up over in Canada in Cape Breton Island and forming communities over there where it's still spoken today in their dialect. But so I spoke at one school. The large school had 170 students, primary and high school. And then this other school, the north end of the island I spoke to, had 18 students, 16 of which were in that day.
Uh-oh.
And these were primary students, and it was fun, you know, talking to all these kids about the stuff that we do. But I was also noticing they had a display of plastic on one of the walls of the classroom. And this is plastic that they'd collected down at the beaches.
I bet it wasn't too hard to find over there.
No, I've walked along the beaches at some times of the year
everywhere.
Back there, and it's a real mess.
Yeah.
But they worked on, and these are primary kids, you know, elementary school kids, on identifying where did the plastic come from. Well, some of it came from places in Scotland, some from England, some from Ireland, some from Denmark, some from Russia, some from Japan. It's like all washing up there on their shores.
Sure.
And, you know, which is now, you know, more open as the Arctic opens up, you know, too. So garbage is swirling all over the place.
It is a huge problem. And that whale that was beached, I forget, I think it was in New England, they found 250 pounds of plastic in its belly.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the ocean's just inundated with this stuff, and hopefully we'll come up with some kind of a way to
stop putting it in and taking it out.
Some kind of a something.
Yeah.
Hey,
yeah.
Step Aside series. There is a new smallest dwarf planet in town. Okay, Dr. Sykes, what's a dwarf planet? What's going on?
Dwarf planet. Different people have different definitions for things. Dwarf planets are just small planets, but a planet is something that is big enough to be round as a consequence of its gravity.
Okay.
But this particular object these guys are talking about, which is an asteroid called Hygieia, which I proposed to send a spacecraft to a few years back out of PSI, you know, they're saying that, hey, we've just measured this thing and we've determined that it's actually round and it has an asteroid family associated with it. And so at some time in the past, it was just smashed to a bunch of bits, you know, some of which flew off and became part of the family. But the rest then recreated back and it formed a ball, you know, that kind of a shape. But I would take exception to calling it a planet just because it's round.
Right.
Because when it was forming, according to their models, the gravity was overcoming just the frictional forces between the rocks, not the mechanical strength of the rock itself. When you look at what I'd call planetary bodies in the solar system, the gravity is strong enough not just to put it into a round shape by accident, but to crush it into a round state, and where the interior becomes more plastic. And it's as a consequence of all that energy that we see geology turning on. And it's seeing these objects where geology is they're big enough for geology to be turning on. That's what makes them like the Earth.
Do we have any idea how many of these small dwarf planets there are in our solar system?
Well, as we go out into the Kuiper Belt, there could be, you know, more and more out there. There's a lot of objects that are like 500 kilometers, 1,000 kilometers, you know, in diameter out there. And we're just beginning to, as we get some more observatories like the LSST surveying the Large Synoptic Survey Telescope surveying the sky, which will be turning on in several years, that this is one of the things we should be finding more and more of. Dwarf planets are the most common, I think they're the most common type of planet in the universe.
Hmm.
And they would be the most common type of planet in our own solar system.
So an asteroid can also be a dwarf planet.
Well, yeah,
this
I mean,
is
I
a,
mean
it, the one
so,
we've been
so, t- so could a ballroom dancer. But you generally refer to Ceres is also called an asteroid. That's just because it was the first one. That's what Herschel called it, because it said it's too small. It's a point of light, because that's all it was in the telescopes at the time, whereas everybody else was calling Ceres a planet back then. But asteroids, these are objects where you smash them and they don't resume a round shape. They're just irregular shaped hunks of rock that are fragments of larger bodies that got smashed up.
How has 2019 been for you at Planetary Science Institute? Would you call this a good year?
Every year is a good year, Bill.
Of course. trick question.
No. There are always challenges.
Sure.
You know, there's certainly always, you know, funding challenges because of priorities shifting and changing.
Politics.
Yep. And we've got the, 2024 Lunar Initiative, which... You know, everyone wants to push everything towards, except that there's no budget. In fact, there hasn't even been a budget that's been proposed to actually send people back to the moon by 2024. So, and there's new spacecraft that need to be developed, and there's just a lot of work.
We keep talking about this, you know, we wish it were so. We wish we could send these people, but hey, where's the money, right?
Well, yeah. And is that really, Administrator Bridenstine was saying that sustainability, because they say we want to go back to the moon and be sustainable. Sustainable means that after having landed there, that we maintain the capability of going back. That's not staying there. That's not doing anything other than planting another flag, but maintaining the capability of going back. So hopefully one day we'll have a longer-term vision about where we want to go and what we want to do and why.
All right. Dr. Mark Sykes, hope you have a wonderful Christmas season.
You too, Bill.
Thanks a lot. All the best to you and everybody over at the Planetary Science Institute here in Tucson. You can find out more about becoming a member. I'm a member. PSI.edu is their website. On behalf of Mark Sykes, I'm Bill Buckmaster, and also on behalf of Tom Fairbanks, have a great afternoon. Back with you tomorrow for our Thursday edition of Buckmaster in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. Have a great day.